Okay, we're going to try this. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Today is Christ the King Day. Thank you. Yes, that was good practice, good practice. So we heard in when Jeannie read from the Gospel of John, we heard, my kingdom is not of this world. So we're going to focus on three words, kingdom, this world, and from. Kingdom. Kingdom is probably not the right word for the translation here in Greek. Probably it's more like kingship, or what we would say, reign. It is the reign of Christ. But we'll say Christ the King. Thank you. So that the kids can blow their horns. But it's really the reign of Christ that we think about. And we may think about when Jesus says, my kingdom is not from this world. We may mistake the this world as a place or as a location. You know, like earth versus heaven, that Jesus is really saying, I'm not from earth, you know, I'm from heaven. But that really would be a mistake, because what Jesus is really saying is that his kingdom, his reign is not from this world. So we really focus on that word from. It is not from this world. And that means that it doesn't originate here in this world. The powers and the leaders, the kings of this world is not where Jesus gets his power at all. Where Jesus gets his power and where he originates from is from God. It's not a location. It's a who. Jesus' reign is from God, from our Creator. And you know, Pilate's not able to comprehend this at all. You notice that? He's asking questions that tend to be focused on this world as the location, right? The power's here. But that's not at all what Jesus is talking about. You know, Pilate is focused on where he gets his power from. And his power is coming from Rome, from Caesar. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He says, my reign does not originate from men. My reign originates from God. And we know that because Jesus is from God. Jesus is God. So when we think of Jesus' kingdom or his reign, it's really more about a state of being or a way in which we are to live. It is a commitment to a particular way that we should be viewing the world. It's not about being over someone as a power of today, but it is about being with someone. Jesus is God Emmanuel, God who is with us, God who suffers with us. Now, the metaphor that was used for a king was a shepherd. And we kind of hear that a little bit today, right? We hear a little bit where Jesus says, my children hear my voice, right? They know my voice. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Who in the Bible listened to Jesus' voice? How about Lazarus? Lazarus is dead as a doornail. I don't know how else you could possibly put it, because he is dead in the tomb for 4 days, right? And what does Jesus say? Lazarus, come out. And this man, who is deader than dead, hears the voice of his shepherd and comes out, rises and comes out, still bound in the cloth of death. Who else knew Jesus' voice when Jesus spoke to him? To her? Oh, it's a trick. That's a trick. At the tomb, there was a woman, Mary, and she was looking everywhere for Jesus, and she couldn't find Jesus, could she? She's looking right at him, and it's only when she hears his voice, Mary. And what is her response? Rabboni, teacher. Only when she hears his voice. You see, they knew the truth, and they heard the voice of truth. But Pilate, he's unable to hear the voice of truth. At the very end of that question, where Jesus says that he is the truth, there's a verse that's missing. And the verse that I want to include in there is what Pilate says. What is truth? Pilate asks. You see, Pilate doesn't really get the question right, does he? The question is not the what is truth. The question is who is truth? And we know the answer, and we know that answer because this is what we hear. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word who was with God, the Word who was God, became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and full of truth. We know the voice of truth. But more importantly is, we are called to hear and to listen for that voice, the voice of our King who loves us unconditionally, who doesn't take us by force, who does not threaten or rule by fear, but who rules by mercy and grace, by unconditional love that is found in the death and resurrection of Jesus. You know, we have so many examples today of what the reign of Christ does not look like, what the voice does not sound like. So it would be ridiculous for me to stand here and give you all the examples of what it doesn't sound like and what it doesn't look like. But maybe what we need is some examples of what it sounds like and what it looks like. Here's what it looks like. It looks like Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, inviting a stranger into their Bible study on a Wednesday night, welcoming in one who looked very different from what they look like. And they loved him and invited him in unconditionally, even as he shot them. It looks like the relative speaking to that young man and forgiving him for his action. Here is some of what it sounds like. You took something very precious away from me, a family representative for Ethel Lance, the 70-year-old grandmother who died in Wednesday's massacre, told Dylan Roof on behalf of Lance's loved ones. I will never talk to her ever again. I will never be able to hold her again. But I forgive you and have mercy on your soul. You hurt me. You hurt a lot of people. But I forgive you. Powerful. Felicia Sanders, who survived the shooting by pretending to be dead, also spoke about losing her son in the attack. Taiwanza was my hero. May God have mercy on you. Another family member whose sister was killed on Wednesday, told Dylan Roof, "For me, I'm a work in progress, and I acknowledge that I'm very angry. We have no room for hate. We have to forgive. I pray God on your soul." What voice are they hearing? Unconditional love. They know who reigns in this world. Yes, not fully yet, but who does indeed reign. What does it look like? What does it sound like? Perhaps it looks like the voice and the reign of Christ. Looks like the various countries that are welcoming in refugees who are fleeing from their countries, who are fleeing from countries where there is incredible gang violence, where there is a national or there are national civil wars that are breaking out, where there are human rights atrocities. The voice that says, come, yes, come. Is there potential fear in those voices that say come? Of course there is fear. Who wouldn't be afraid? Because we don't know. However, the ultimate place where we put our trust is in Christ and Christ alone. We wouldn't be human if we didn't say we weren't afraid. But we have nothing to be afraid of because we know the end of the story. It doesn't end with Christ remaining in the tomb. It ends with Christ rising from the tomb, with God bringing life out of death. And so we have nothing to fear. I want to hear the voice that these people are hearing. I want to hear the voice of the risen Christ that assures us that this world does not have the final say. What is truth is not the question. You see, Pilate doesn't even see truth standing in front of him because he's so focused on the power of the world. He doesn't see the power of God standing in front of him. Who is truth is the question. Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, who lives and reigns now and forever. Amen.